You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Matthew 28, so put your finger there. That's where we're going in just a few moments. Today, as we launch this brand new series called Go, everybody say Go. I want to be throughout the series challenging, affirming, and so very, very thankful for all that you're doing individually and this faith community we call Gateway is doing in our community and in our region and in our world. I'll tell you, it happens so often, but again, last Friday night I was over here and there was so much going on the campus. Many of you were here for this sing-along in the auditorium, and there were like 250 people gathered in here. It was a great night. And then on my way over to the school gym over here, I passed through the Pearson Fellowship Hall, and they had the largest turnout for a free community meal that they've had. And it was incredible to see that team gathering together and serving our community, and people were coming in. And then I made my way over to the gymnasium for the school circus, and that was standing room only. People just gathered everywhere in support of our students. It was just absolutely incredible, and I'm so thankful because that story is told again and again, over and over and over throughout the week, the months, and the year. That's what we're talking about as we launch this brand new series called Go. None of us, not one person, no follower of Jesus was ever called to just sit back and just kind of skate through life and make it to heaven someday. Now, if we were all honest, maybe that sounds pretty good sometimes, doesn't it? Let's be honest. You can shake your head. Yeah, it does. It does to me too. Let's just sit and let's just get to heaven. But Jesus doesn't create you for that. And he doesn't create me for that. That's what we're talking about in this series, Go. Tom Rainer is a well-known author and blogger, and our staff has read his books, and I follow him in blogosphere. And this last week, he posted an article that was really, really interesting, and it was interesting because it has now become the most downloaded article that he's ever written, and he's nationally known. And you know what was called? You never guess it. I mentioned it at Day of Prayer if you were there last Thursday. It's called The Autopsy of a Dead Church. That caught my attention. And I began to read it. And the backstory is he was called to a church in 1975 to consult them. That church was running on average at a gathering 750 people per week. When they called him to come in and consult him, it had slid to 83 people who were gathering from 750 down to 83. So they were inviting him to come in and help us figure out what's going wrong here. When he arrived, he said that he could tell that the people really didn't want him there. He was there because a benefactor in the church was paying his way. He spent 3 weeks on that church campus trying to discover what was going on. When he was about ready to leave, the benefactor that had paid his way, paid his fees and so on to come, asked him, well, what do you think? And he gave this opinion, that in 5 years, I believe unless things change, your church will close. It wasn't 5 years later, but 10 years later, that church actually closed its doors. Tom Rainer and one of his associates went back and they began to consider and think about what were the elements that led to that decline and eventual closure. And they came up with 11 things in this autopsy of a dead church. I'm just going to share a few of them with you, not all 11, because it really points us in the direction that we're going today. See, we're called to serve one another and beyond. It's not an either or, it's a both and. So we're called to serve one another, to grow together, be talking about that, and beyond into our community and our region and our world. So just listen to kind of the 4 or 5 points of this autopsy report about this church that eventually closed its doors. Number one, he said the church refused to look like the community. They began to transition away from what the community was really all about and how the community looked, and it just kind of became about us. That was the first thing. Second, he said that the church had no community-focused ministries. It wasn't about them out there. It's about us. If you can just kind of visualize in your mind for a moment, if we were to take all these chairs here in the auditorium and we were to disconnect the pews and move them around, and we just turn them all inward, focusing inward and looking at each other. That's the visual that began that took place here. It's all about us. It's not about them. That began to happen. He says the members became more focused on memorials. And not that memorials are bad. He actually makes that point. It's good to honor and the past and so on. But he says this. The point is that the memorials became an obsession at the church. More and more emphasis was placed on the past, you know, what had happened, rather than what Jesus wants to do here and now and into the future. He goes on, he says, the percentage of the budget for members' needs kept increasing. So again, it wasn't about them, or it wasn't about our community, or our region, about the world, but it was about us. At the closure of the church, the percentage of the budget that went to meet members' needs, what do you think the percentage was? Want to take a guess? 98%. I pray, Jesus, just help us. Help us. There's two more. He says there was no evangelistic emphasis at all. There were none. Kind of points right back to that. It's about us, not about them. And then one last one. He says the church rarely prayed together. Now I would just tell you, that point is set deep in my heart. It's caused me to step back and just consider my own prayer life, personally, and then what I ask us to join together and do as a faith community. The church rarely prayed together. It was just past February that I returned with a team from Africa and shared really some good news with you, and I did here, and we did in meetings and so on, how God had really worked on our behalf as we sought to reach the Wolof. That's an unreached people group. Maybe that's brand new for some of you, but it's an unreached people group that Gateway believes God has called us to, and we're just waiting for and praying for the day when we see a church planted in Africa in this part of the country. That's our heart's desire. And I shared with you the success of that trip. It was absolutely incredible because the village chief just opened up his arms to us, and he said, my village is your village, and come on in anytime. And it was just incredible. It was great. And we're working through a Senegalese church there, and you're going to meet the church leaders here in the fall. But here's what I want to say regarding prayer. I believe that everything we do, and if I can use the word success of what we do in our own personal lives and as a church, is connected with prayer. And I believe that the success that we enjoyed over there, the doors that Jesus opened up for us, were directly related to a Wolof prayer team who meets every week to pray. I believe that. God has called us to pray, to be actively a part of what he's doing in the world. And it begins in us. As we grow together, we go together. And that's what this series is all about. Now, Matthew chapter 28, I ask you to turn to the book of Matthew. So Matthew chapter 28, and if you don't have a Bible today, there's a free one out in the lobby for you, and I just encourage you to pick it up. It's our gift to you, and maybe you're here, you've launched YouVersion Live. Many of you are doing that. You'll find this passage here. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to focus on verse 19, but let me read verses 18 and 20 as well. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And then here's the command. They're considered the marching orders, if you will, for the church. Therefore, go. Everybody say, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The command there is to do what? Go, not sit. Go. Be a part of sharing the good news of the gospel. Go. What that literally means is in your going, as you go, as you live out your life, this is what we're to do. We're to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them or incorporating them. That's what that means. Incorporating them within the body, the fellowship of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. as you go, or as you live out your life, in your going, do these things. Make disciples or live your life for him. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and us, will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let me kind of summarize or paraphrase just that last part of that passage in Acts 1:8, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, simply means here, there, and everywhere. Here in our community, in our region, and in the world today. We're to be his witnesses. God calls us to go and to serve him, and to do that in a variety of ways that he's created. He has created us to go. Now, let me give you a key to this series that's coming up on the screen. Going is both internal and external. It's only a healthy church that impacts a community, a region, and the world. So our going, when I use that word, is both internal and it's external. As we go internally, we're using the gifts that Jesus has given to each one of us to serve one another, to help one another grow. And as we grow together, we go together, and we do so in a healthy way. It's only a healthy church or a healthy faith community like Gateway that impacts the community, the region, and the world. And I pray for health, don't you? I do. I pray that each one of us will answer that call to go. Now, I want to share with you three words that really serve as a foundation for this series, and they're coming up on the screen right now. Believe, belong, and bless. Everybody say believe, believe, and belong, and bless. I want to suggest to you that these three elements, all three, are needed to be healthy as a follower of Jesus, as an individual follower of Jesus, and all three need to be a part of our faith community for us to be healthy and to live out this command to go. In fact, let me say it this way. If you remove any one of those things, we're dysfunctional. If you remove any one of those things, if I remove any one of those things in my life, I'm a dysfunctional follower of Jesus. If we remove any one of those things in this community that we call Gateway, this faith community, we as a community of believers, we will be dysfunctional. Each of us was created to believe, to belong, and to bless. Believe. God calls us, and aren't we thankful? We celebrate it today. He created us to have relationship with him. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's created you to have relationship. He's created people to have a relationship with him. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that? That's what we celebrate today. We've been called into relationship with him. But it doesn't stop there. He calls us, and we're created to have relationship with one another. So we're connected to the head, who is Jesus, and we're connected to one another, the body. He's created us to belong together. But it doesn't stop there, because Jesus, God calls us to reach out to others and to help one another grow internally and externally. So we believe in him, we belong together, and we're called to go to bless one another, to be a part of one another's lives. Each of us are created that way. Now, if we remove one of those, we're dysfunctional. So let's just talk about believe and belong for a moment. And then remove bless. And you fit that into Matthew chapter 28. Just for a moment, just believe and belong. If we believe and we belong without blessing, we are like a monastic community. That is, we're just concerned about ourselves, and we just hold one another accountable, and we keep ourselves separate from the world that Jesus has called us to. It's just all about us, and we turn our chairs inward, and our seats, our pews inward, and it's just all about us. We believe and we belong, but we remove bless. How about if we believe and we bless and we remove belong? God calls us into community together, to live life and to do life together. What happens if we remove that element? Suddenly we become a whole lot less than what Jesus has designed. Can you imagine trying to pull off an event? Mario mentioned it, Operation Day of Hope, without people. Do you know that 400 or 500 of you will volunteer for Operation Day of Hope? We belong together. We do this thing together. The community meals, and we could go on and on and on. The teams that go to Africa, the teams that go to India, the team over in Basque Country now. And then other communities. I mentioned the Columbia team out in the lot. It just goes on and on and on because we belong together and we're to support one another and we pray for one another. So you can't remove the belonging. But what about if we belong and bless and we remove believe for just a moment? Think about that. We just belong together and we bless together, but we remove believe. I shared at the 8 o'clock service, we were gathered as a staff team, and we happened to have one of the local newspaper gals here. And I said, "You're not allowed to write anything I'm about to say to her." And I said this: "We do not exist." Now you got to stick with me for just a moment. "We do not exist to feed this community food. We don't exist to clothe the community. That's part of what we do. But if that's all we do, we're just like another one of the other great organizations, social organizations in our community. And I love them. And I love what they're doing. But if that's, are you with me? If that's all we do, we do this, we feed and we clothe and we reach into our community. We do that so that we can introduce people to Jesus. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the what. That's why we don't go to Africa and to India and to parts of the world so that we can say we went to parts of the world and just do. We do that so that we can introduce people to Jesus. That's what it's all about. I thank God that He enables us to do all these things. Let's just keep our eyes on the ball. It's about Him. It's about sharing Jesus. It's about going into our community, in our region, and in the world today to share the good news of the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why I get so passionate, helping us to focus on the why. That's why I love to hear the stories of people coming to faith in Jesus and growing together. It's why we exist. It's why He has called each one of us to be involved in what He's doing, to go together, to believe in Him, to belong to a community, and then together be involved in reaching our community, our region, and our world. Here's what this series is all about. That's the foundation of the series. What this series is all about is helping us equip one another, and it begins with an understanding that you, me, each of us, we're created to do this very thing. We're created to do this very thing. God has called you and He's called me to be a part of this community so that we can share the good news of the gospel. Jesus has created us uniquely to serve. You, me, you're unique. You could look at the person you're seeing and you could honestly say, you are a very unique person. Some of you have been waiting to do that. You're unique. I'm not saying you're different. I'm saying you're unique, and I'm unique. All of us, we're unique. God creates variety. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're different. You're different. See, I just used the word. I wasn't going to use the word different. We're different. God created variety. I mentioned at the 8 o'clock gathering this morning that God loves variety, that He's created something like 3,000 different species of beetles. And what I discovered after the 8 o'clock service from a friend of mine who is a science teacher is that I was like way off on that figure. I was way off like by about 400,000. He goes, you know, actually there are over 350 1,000 known different species of beetles in the world today. Now that's variety. And when one slides across my patio, that's what I do. One less species right there. One less beetle anyway. Do you know, speaking of variety, do you know that in like a cubic foot, I don't know how they figure this out, but in Chad just returned from his sister's graduation. I loved it because it snowed the entire time he was away. And we had this wonderful weather here. It was just incredible. But do you know, in a cubic foot of snow, there are 18 million different snowflakes? Now, I can't tell you how they figure that one out because I can't imagine there's somebody counting snowflakes, you know, or whatever. But that's at least what we're told. Anyway, God loves variety. He's created you and he's created me. He loves variety. He's put us together. He's made us exactly the way that we are. I'd love for you to think about that for just a moment. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. God, that's what you did. You knit us together. You made us. You created us. The Good News Version says, you created every part of me. Every part. Listen to Job chapter 10, verse 8. You formed me with your hands and you made me. Look, if there's anyone here who is absolutely discouraged with who you are, I just pray that God's word would speak to you right now. God made you. He created you with his hands. He made you who you are. The Good News Version says, your hands formed and shaped me. Shaped me. There's not a one of us that can go to the mirror and say, God, I don't like my shape. Not one of us. God created you, man. He shaped you. And those two verses provide a foundational truth that we're going to be talking a lot about over the next number of weeks, that God created the you in you for him. God created the you in you for him. And we ought not mess with what God's created. That just means that you don't you dare start telling God that he messed up when he created you. Don't do that. Because you're messing with his creation. He created you just as you are. Let me just share with you three important truths. Number one, you're unique. We talked already about that. I'm unique. There's no one in the world like you. God wants to use you and you for him. You're unique. He wants to accomplish his purposes through you. You're complex. You're mysteriously complex. We sometimes can't figure ourselves out. I remember years ago, early on in my pastoral days, I read this book, maybe you have too, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Kind of dove into the complexity of the body. I mean, we truly can't figure out how this body works and systems work and so on. We're complex. God created us. He made us. Now, we have to admit that sometimes we can't quite figure this thing out. We can't because we're so complex. Paul describes it, doesn't he, in Corinthians? He says, look, some of you are ears, and some of you are this, and some of you are that, but together we make up the body of Christ. And it's complex. Then lastly, I mentioned it. We're shaped, or we're created unique and complex. We are shaped for a purpose. You were designed by God, and it was his idea, and you're not a mistake. You were planned before birth. Go back to Psalm 139, verse 13. The Bible says very clearly that you, that I, we were purposely, orderly planned and designed by God. Let's just don't ever forget that. But let's understand what that means. We were planned by him, purposefully, ordered by him for a reason. And that's the title of this series, To Go, to be a part of what he's doing. We're going to use this acrostic shape over the next number of weeks. I'm going to just kind of give you a quick overview before we head out today. Next week, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. What do they look like? What's the Bible say about spiritual gifts? You know that every follower of Jesus is uniquely gifted by God for his purpose. We'll talk about spiritual gifts. The Bible says each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and one has this gift. We're going to talk about that and what it looks like. And how we receive the gift of another, and how we stay away from what I'm going to call gift projection. We'll talk about that next week. Next week's Mother's Day. That's not true. We're not going to talk about that next week. That's going to be a week away. Next week, we're going to be talking about the heart. We just figure like there's no better day, come on, to talk about the heart than on Mother's Day. So that's going to be our focus. It's what drives you. It's what motivates you. And we all have different motivations, different drives, and different interests. But then when we get to the third week called abilities, I'm going to mess with the acrostic just a little bit, because we're going to tie spiritual gifts and abilities together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says God works in different ways. He's given us different abilities. I mean, some of you have incredible abilities to hold babies. It's true. I know some of you, some just like, don't give me a baby because I'll mess it up. But some of you have that ability. You know, some of you are God has gifted financially. That's how you carry out his purposes. Some of you are strategic thinkers and planners. Some of you, you know what your ability is? Man, when someone knocks on the door, you can't wait to open the door and receive them in, and what do? You run, you get the plate of cookies, you get the coffee, you get the tea, because God's gifted you in this whole hospitality. He's just gifted you that way. He's made you that way. We're going to be talking about that, because that's the you and you for him. That's coming up. Talk about personality. Some of you have personality with a capital P. We all have personality, by the way. Some of us think we have none, but you do. And Jesus wants to use you and you for him. And then we're going to be talking about experiences. Let me just talk about that for just a moment. Because the experiences of life, Jesus wants to use, including suffering. All of it. He wants to use that. As he leads us and he directs us in all of life. He's a sovereign God. We're going to be talking about how God uses our experiences for his glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, what we begin to understand is that God uses every part of us. He uses every experience, everything about us, everything that he can do in us and through us to do one thing. And that's to share the good news that Jesus came, and to share that locally and in the world today. It begins internally and it moves out externally as we grow together. We need to understand our shape, because we need to come to understand that we, you, me, every one of us has a role in God's kingdom. Gateway, the pathway that we often talk about, you hear me, refer to this, gather, grow, go. That's what our logo looks like this. And maybe you've seen it as you drive in the parking lot or on our signs, it's on our program, it's everywhere. The G. Now, for some of you, you already know this, but you notice the tail of the G starts outside. We come in and we gather together. So we come together and we grow together. And what's the arrow do? It points which way? Out. It doesn't point in. As we gather together, we come in, settings like this. We grow together, and then we, everybody say it, we go together. I just want to ask you a question, and I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to pray. How's your going? What's it look like? How's your going? Honestly, when we wake up in the morning, I don't care if you're one of those that get up, you know, on the wrong side of the bed, or whatever that looks like for you. When we wake up in the morning, we ought to understand that we have an opportunity. Jesus has called us to go together, to do that individually, and to do that as a community. Wherever our going is, how's your going? When we gather in places like this, he's called us to be involved in one another's lives, because it's only a healthy body that goes. It's only a healthy body. How's your going? What's it look like? You see, the enemy would love to kind of step in and interrupt what Jesus wants to do in you. And he'll say things like this: you really, man, you don't have a whole lot to offer. He'll say that. Or he'll get you to look at your shape and go, you know what? It's just not really shaped just right. What gifting do you have? That's what he'll do. But I want to tell you, God's word to you and to me is this: he has shaped you and he's created you. He's called us to do life together so that together we can impact our world. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. I pray encouragement for each one of you. If you're here today and you're discouraged, be encouraged, because he planned you and he created you. He created the you in you for him. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to invite us to consider that question. What's your going look like? What's it look like? It's going to be fun as we get into some of these areas and we start talking about giftings and so on. And we're going to laugh and we're going to learn together. I pray more than anything that you will come to an understanding that Jesus wants to use you and he wants to use me. And look, all that happens beyond that, we give God the glory. Amen. We do. Amen? Amen.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.